This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado during an abandonment of Christian world and life view in the Western world. Indeed, a Christian way of thinking is almost completely abandoned by our present systems. And it's for us to continue to teach our children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord and to raise them according to the principles of God's Word. Steve Vaughn in studio with me today as we interact with some important stories that detail the direction of the nation. And we're going to address the question of whether our children should join the military on this program. But first, there have been some significant progressive moves made by our military, especially in transgendering the military. Do you remember that one of the most significant traitors in the history of this country was pardoned by the President of the United States and also granted sex change operations paid for by the United States Army? So that's the reward. That's the reward he gets for either his treachery, his traitorous perspectives of things, or his transgender agenda. Obviously, it's the transgender agenda that has gained most of the favor of the leaders of the land, because the leaders of the land have been almost completely perverted in their worldview perspective of ethics. And this, again, is seen with the United States Air Force Academy down here in Colorado Springs, with the incorporation of Kristen Goodwin as the latest commandant for the Air Force Academy. She was appointed by the President of the United States, Barack Obama, and her appointment was not stopped by the Congress of the United States or by the Trump administration. Members of the Trump administration registered some concerns about her, but she is now the commandant for the United States Air Force Academy. And there are some 20, 30 pictures of her and her wife and her kids on the Colorado Springs Gazette site. She is a lesbian. Her name is Kristen Goodwin. And evidently, the Colorado Springs Gazette is proud of the lesbians that are prancing through the Air Force Academy, one of which is now the commandant of the U.S. Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. Well, apparently, according to Patriot Post, the United States Air Force Academy has sponsored a 25th National Character and Leadership Symposium this month, and the focus was on sexual identity. The challenges of multicultural world requires individuals to cast aside their own overt or covert biases towards gender, racial, religious, or sexual identities in order to create an environment that facilitates ethical leadership and decision-making, as well as personal and professional respect for their fellow human beings. In other words, among the symposium's featured presenters were gender-confused military personnel and Marxists selected to model the ethics and character military officers need to adopt once they cast aside their own overt and covert biases in order to be effective leaders. This, my friends, is what is going on in the United States Air Force Academy. And one of the reasons why this is important is because the Air Force and the United States Armed Forces are usually the last bastions of conservatism for a nation that is going down the tubes. And so the last bastion of conservatism, or the last bastion of the national character, has been fundamentally compromised by the incorporation of lesbianism and the encouragement of support for any kind of sexual identity, I guess. And sexual identity means pretty much any kind of sexual identity, I believe. So, friends, what does God say about this ethics business? If they're so concerned about the national character and ethics and respect for human dignity, what does God say about this? And if this symposium on ethics and character, supported by the commandant, the lesbian commandant of the United States Air Force, is all about ethics and all about the respect for human dignity, then how do we define that? That's the question. How do we define true and good character? How do we define that which is right and that which is wrong? Romans chapter 1 speaks on this in no uncertain terms. Romans chapter 1, again, speaks directly to what's going on at the Air Force Academy down here in Colorado Springs, Colorado. This is what God's word says. And let me tell you that God is above man. God is the very determinant of all that is right and wrong. Man is nothing. Man has no basis for defining what is human dignity or what is ethical or what is a good national character and what is a bad national character. Humans cannot do it outside of divine revelation, that which gives us true right and wrong as defined by God himself. And here it is, Romans 1, for this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Dishonorable passions. God gave them up to that which is dishonorable to all of human dignity. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do that which ought not to be done. Now, that is the dictionary definition of ethics.
Mm-hmm.
God gave them up to debased mind in order that they would be lesbians and exchange the natural use for that which is contrary to nature, and to do that which ought not to be done. And friends, that is the very definition of right and wrong. That is ethic itself. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, etc., etc. So I guess the question here for all of us is, who are you going to trust when it comes to the business of ethics? Do we trust God or the Air Force? Do we trust God or the Supreme Court? Now, I know that when it comes down to the powers that control the largest military on earth, when it comes down to the powers of the largest, most powerful government on earth, people have a hard time fearing God. They have a hard time respecting God. They have a hard time realizing that God has power over, yes, even the most powerful court in the land. God has power over the largest, most powerful, most prosperous government that has ever been. They have a hard time believing that. And I know that people are embarrassed by God's word. You read Romans 1 out loud at the Air Force Academy, and you can make a list of everybody, every professing Christian who is embarrassed of the word of God. I'm telling you, you can make a list of those people embarrassed or hateful of God's word and what God's word has to say about what is right and wrong and the basis upon which we have sinned against God and that basis upon which Jesus came to die on the cross for those sins. Well, my friends, this is the very basis of the gospel itself. We are fighting for the gospel itself. When man refuses to allow God to define sin, man will not be saved. When man refuses to bow the knee and acknowledge that he has sinned, he has broken God's laws. He has broken God's laws defined on God's terms. And then he refuses to come to receive the answer to that, the provision that God provided for the atonement for those sins on the cross by Jesus Christ. If he refuses to submit, refuses to confess his sins, refuses to acknowledge that he broke God's laws, and he refuses to accept God's sacrifice for the transgression of those laws, then he will not be saved. This is the gospel message itself that is at stake. We need to defend the law of God. We need to point out that men are sinners and that Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day. This is a gospel issue. And we need to continue to battle this battle in our generation. We'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. And today, we're discussing the new commandant at the United States Air Force. She is a lesbian leading the United States Air Force. Now, we already asked the question, what would God think about a woman turning after these forms of passions, exchanging the natural relations for those that are contrary to nature? And we already addressed the fact that God's Word discusses these things, but what would George Washington think about a woman leading the United States Air Force Academy?
I think he would be appalled. I think he would be shocked and be asking the question, what has gone wrong with these United States?
Yeah. Let alone a lesbian.
Yeah.
What would George Washington think about a woman leading the Air Force Academy? A lesbian at that. Well, in the 1770s, there was at least one instance of homosexuality or an attempted homosexual act. It wasn't actually a homosexual act, but during the War for Independence, there was one young man who attempted a homosexual act. His name was Frederick Gotthold Insulin in the Continental Army, and General George Washington removed him from the Army. The order stated, "His Excellency, the Commander-in-Chief, approves the sentence and with abhorrence and detestation of such infamous crimes, orders Lieutenant Insulin to be drummed out of camp tomorrow morning by all the drummers and fifers in the Army, never to return." Now, my understanding is that that has not happened to Kristen Goodwin, who is the commandant for the United States Air Force Academy. She has not been drummed out by all the fifers and the drummers.
No, she was drummed in.
She was drummed in by all of them.
Yeah.
What a shift.
Yeah.
That's a significant shift. That's a shift in worldview that shows you what has happened to this nation in denying God's word and undermining God's law at the most fundamental points. What God has called the most debased sin has become the highest possible virtue of the land. And anybody who takes God's side on this one will be the lowest life in America today. You follow me?
Oh, yeah.
That's how radical it is. The shift in ethics has been in this country. What God has called the most debased possible sin has become the highest possible virtue in the land. Well, President Eisenhower also signed an executive order in 1953. It's called Executive Order 10450, banning homosexuals from federal employment, because homosexuality was something on a rise at that time. There was always that pressing to come out of the closet and to sell the sin to a wider public audience. And so the United States government saw it necessary to ban homosexuals from federal employment in 1953. But America eventually gave way to the feminist desire for egalitarian access to all aspects of American society, including the Air Force, including all of the armed forces, and including access to combat. And so as the feminists required this for themselves, we began to see mass gender role confusion turn into a mass gender confusion. And that's how you get to Bradley Manning and his sex change operations funded by the United States Army. All right. Well, all of that has changed, of course. As of December of 2010, the United States Congress voted to allow homosexuals in the military. And President Obama signed the bill on December 22nd. Of 2010, that would have been about 8 years ago, and now a lesbian is heading the United States Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. Well, this is another indication that this nation is just about ready to subject itself to the judgment of Almighty God. Now, I have no idea what this judgment looks like, but God has destroyed nations for reasons of homosexuality. Many times the Canaanites had this problem, according to Leviticus chapter 18, Leviticus 20. And so did Sodom and Gomorrah. So the nations, the small nation states, had opened themselves up to this sort of thing, and God's judgment came down upon the small nation states. But now we have extremely large nations, the most powerful nations in the world, that are opening themselves up to these particular sins and selling them wholesale and encouraging them at the highest echelons of the land. And so, of course, the nation will subject itself to some measure of God's judgment, and we will see what will happen. Now, we, of course, have been fighting some of our wars, and we're winning some of these wars, or sort of winning the wars. But I think we need to remember that we're fighting nations that have a GDP that is 1/1,000th of ours. You follow me here, Steve? I mean, Afghanistan has a GDP of $5 billion compared to our $20,000 billion GDP. Okay, so that's a difference, okay? Iraq had a GDP about $60 billion, but that compares to our $20 billion GDP. Come on, guys. We've been fighting nations with a GDP of 1/1,000th of ours. Okay, so stop whining. And maybe we're kind of half a sort of winning these wars. Who knows? But we start ticking off China with big tariffs. And by the way, we just started doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We start ticking off these nations with big tariffs. We'll find ourselves in war. We start ticking off Russia by kicking its diplomats out of the country because we're just a little irritated with Russia. We're going to find ourselves in war. Okay, Russia and China are not like Iraq and Afghanistan. Is everybody clear on that? And if the nations are in the hands of Almighty God, if the king's hearts are in the hands of God and he will turn it whithersoever he will, we are this close to a World War III and the obliteration of our cities off the map through the use of nuclear weapons. I think people need to understand that we are more vulnerable right now to the judgment of God via a World War III than we ever have been. And I'm not sure that an egalitarian army and air force is the secret to success. The Persians discovered that taking your paramours to battle, whether they were heterosexual or homosexual, just didn't work. The Persians discovered that pretty quick when they tried to oppose Alexander the Great. It was a little distracting to take your paramours to war with you.
Yes.
Whether it was your girlfriend or your boyfriend. The Persians discovered that pretty fast, my friends, and I think our egalitarian, nicely integrated Air Force with all of the homosexuals and all the transgenders and all of the women and all the men all nestled together in one nice little foxhole is probably not a good way to win wars. And I'm guessing that there are people out there with good sense who would agree with me. I'm also meeting more and more young Christian men who have decided not to attend the Air Force Academy. And I think there are reasons not to. Now, this decision, of course, is for each individual young man who needs to decide whether he is called to this or not. So I don't think it's for us to make a decision for any individual who's considering military service. But I do think there's reason for caution. As the military becomes more politically correct and homosexualized, the question for our young men would be, do you really want to submit to a lesbian commandant, or commander? Is this nation the paradigm of righteousness and worthy of our defense? Are the wars we fight righteous wars, or is this nation giving way to unrighteous forms of warfare? Do they submit to the standards of Deuteronomy 20? I think we should ask those questions. And our young men should ask those questions. If you're a Christian, you need to ask, are you called to submit to this? And are you mature spiritually such that you're able to function in an anti-Christian, highly regimented world? Are you willing to be in regular close contact with profane men and women living in submarines with homosexuals and so forth? There needs to be something of a calling, a spiritual maturity, before Christians can answer these questions. And so I would just pose these questions and just suggest that young men should pause for a second and ask themselves, is this a way in which I can honor Christ and I can seek his ways and I can be faithful as a Christian in this context? The other thing for young men is you find that many of them are not mature, they're not discipled, and they're not quite ready to pursue a calling that could be this challenging. And so I'd, again, caution that those that are young, those that are inexperienced, those that have not been well discipled and are prepared for this sort of environment. So anyway, those would be my comments in terms of young men who are considering joining the armed forces in our day today.
Well, it's a matter of faith, and it's a matter of maturity in the faith. Are you ready to be able to defend the reason for the hope that lies within you and do it by the power of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit within you?
Right. Inevitably, we are sent out into the world, and we will have interaction with the world, whether it be in sort of the buy-sell market where we're trading services and products, or whether it will be in the military. But the question is, of course, how much are we going to be forced to participate in these sacrifices offered to idols, or how much can we exempt ourselves from that? Those questions are important. It doesn't matter whether you're working for a large corporation that enforces some kind of a homosexual celebration of some sort, or whether you're working for the armed forces. Mm-hmm. You need to ask yourself, are you moving into a situation in which you will be forced to offer food offered to idols, or can you exempt yourself from that in the presence of those who are idolatrous and supporting and celebrating the sin of homosexuality? Well, those are the questions that young people are going to have to ask in the day in which we live. It's not quite as easy as it was 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. No, things have become aggressively anti-Christ and anti-Christian in our corporations and in the armed forces today. And for that reason, we would encourage young people to be cautious and ask questions and answer these questions before they make these decisions that will affect their lives. Folks, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com, or you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.